This could be audio 11. Book of Acts, field manual for the end of days. This is the training. Russ Dizdar, this is that day. Yes, that's the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad. And hey, the last one I did was actually audio 10B. We'll try to keep them just two, three, four, five. But we had Ephesians 3:20, just a short little message concerning shaping history. That in this training, believers become the major shapers in history. Well, that is God at work in us, his, you know, doing his work through us. You lead one person to Christ, history changes, correct? Your life, Christ intervenes, you get saved. Your prayers and answer today, well, that shapes, it's intervention. It changes things, it really does. So even as you walk in the Lord, day by day by day, you see him work in your life. So as we look here at audible number 11 for the Book of Acts training, I want to talk about the goals of the entire training. There's 10 things. You can mark them down somewhere. You can go to page 20 or 21 and mark these down. So get ready to mark down 10. And this is what my aim will be. This is what I believe with every ounce of my being. This is what I anticipate. I anticipate Acts 9:22, even in my life right here, right now, to grow even more and more powerful. So all of us, as we, you know, we never stop. It's over 40 years. I'm not going to stop to grow. And so everything I'm going to mention, I don't care if you're 4 years in, 4 days in, 4 weeks in, or 40-some years in. The same yesterday, today, and forever. But that same salvation, that same workmanship of God in Christ, designed in him, and all that's all those promises, all that scripture, well, that living Savior in us. How you doing, by the way? The evaluation you took and taking a look at that, we'll do it down the road and see how you're progressing. You're chosen in Christ to bear the fruit, John 15. And you will, and you, many of you already have, and this will help sharpen, we pray. So today the prayer is together that we grow, Acts 9:22. Saul gets saved, Paul becomes Paul, filled with the Spirit of God. He launches out in obedience, and then he grows more and more powerful. So that's going to happen. You grow in knowledge, you grow in perseverance, you grow in endurance, you grow in, you know, in doing the works. You're going to lead many people to Jesus, not just one or two. You're going to, and again, we have to stand up and recognize the subnormal church system that seems to be man-made, man-empowered, no demonstration anyway, of the incredible, joyful presence and power. Now, I'm not saying there's not good some worship services and things like that. There's aspects of the grace of God that we open doors to. But the issue is, do we open all the doors to the grace and the working of God? Everything that he wants in our lives, his will, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. So here's the goals for the entire course, 10 of them. And the idea is that you're going to grow and become more and more powerful in all of this. Number one, more and more powerful in your relationship with Jesus. So number one, the center is Jesus. You're just going to get stronger and stronger. Like it says in Hebrews, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You go to Colossians 3, where our life is now hidden with Christ in God. You can acknowledge again Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what it's all about. But you know him. You're in relationship to him. And everything outside of that, growing in knowledge, growing in development, answers to prayer and soul winning and healing and all the rest comes out of that relationship. John's Gospel 15, you read it again. Jesus said, without me, you can't do anything. You can't do anything, can you? You can't. You can't do anything outside of him. So it all begins there. And why not? We have now Savior, Lord, King, God. This is a healer, Jesus. He's the center of all of this, and the center of our message and our relationship. So that's important for us. So number one, growing as deep in Christ as you can. That's part of the goal. Number one. Number two, growing deep in the knowledge of the Word of God. You had so much of it. I mean, how much do you know? And you think in terms of all of it being selected by the Spirit of God. God designed it for us. He designed exactly what we have. And there's so much that I could say 40 years later, I don't care how many hundreds and hundreds of other books I read or thousands. That's all good, but the Scriptures is the center of everything. Living words of God, instruction, faith comes from it. Even for the believer, your faith is built. God is speaking to you. So, and we need more than just a little, you know, every once in a while, a light little verse. Truly, we need a plot and a plan, as you're doing now for the book of Acts, to really study the Word of God deeply and consistently. You're going to see that the entire Word of God has one author, God, the Spirit of God. The writers, okay, they're but used by God, well, to do His work, ultimately, what? For the Word of God. So, goal number two, to grow powerful and deep in your knowing of, in your reception of, and in your use of the Word of God. Number three, now this is part of the goal. Growing. That is, now that we've tasted the Lord, we're to grow up in our salvation. We're to look at John's Gospel 15 and see that we've been chosen to bear fruit. We got to grow. We got to develop. And that happens in our daily meeting with Jesus, our growing and searching the Word of God, in our beginnings to pray and begin to worship and begin to, you know, all, everything. Growing in your experience of the Spirit of God, growing in your reception and use of spiritual gifts, growing in all of that. You may lead. You may have already led somebody to Jesus. Well, you need to lead hundreds. You may have heard about healing, or maybe you know, praying and seeing Jesus bring direct healing and so forth. So growing in the Lord is vital, and that happens always. It happens on the field. It happens in our study. It happens in our prayer time. It happens right now as you're doing this. There's a growing. And the good news is in that parable about some take the Word of God and they produce 30% more. Some produce 60% more. Some do 100 times. I want you to know you can grow quicker, that you can grow deeper. And we should be growing all the time. And that's vital. So growing, we do not want to be stagnant. And we do not want to let the church, the body of Christ, by the culture, and I believe by the enemy's influence, to become stagnant and spectatorship-oriented and to dumb down the believer to being just a person sitting in the chair, the pew, a spectator. No, we're to be growing and growing and growing. Goal number four, become as powerful in prayer as you possibly can. In a day in which billions need to be saved, in a day in which mass revivals are needed, in a day in which the church can and should change instantly from enculturated and dumbed down and subnormal to the powerful thing that it should be in the hand of God. Now, prayer, and we've gone through this in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we, you know, beyond all of this, what we ask or imagine, to, according to his power. So the spirit of prayer and supplication in you, on you, let alone the promises of God, let alone the call, come before the throne of grace boldly, but daily. You hear my emphasis, morning. You can pray other times during the day. You can pray in the car. You can pray, you know, you see somebody you need. That's ministry prayer. Just pray for them. So if you start off, if you launch the day with God, you're going to have a real sense of the conscious work and presence and activity all during the day. So miracles, the dead were raised, Mary's prayer group in the book of Acts, God sent an angel, Paul and Silas in prison praising God and praying, God caused an earthquake. So that's why I'm saying that there are huge and massive miracles. There's personal things God's going to answer for you and for your family. Now, by the way, prayer-wise, we have a prayer journal. I call it a prayer map. Just a big list So, but it's broken down. It begins with preparation and worship, then intercession, then souls, then praying for the church and praying for God's power. And it goes all the way into targeting, target praying, then even for the advance of the kingdom. But also then, and you got a big massive list, by the way, of all of your, everybody you can consider, you're praying for their salvation. And then we have that concept of praying against all radical evil, praying against what the enemy does. We stand with this astounding, there, you know, possibilities. By the way, I want to encourage you, get a hold of E.M. Bounds, E.M. Bounds, any of his prayer works, or Andrew Murray, some of the classics. But the necessity of praying, the possibilities of praying, unction in praying with the Spirit of God. Can you imagine being before the throne of God? You are, and you're called to come boldly, same throne today as it was, as we read the Psalms anyway, 3,000 years ago, God. And the answers, whether he's sending direct, the Spirit of God moves, or he releases angels, that's up to God. We don't worry about the how. We can't calculate that. God is, again, exceedingly abundantly beyond what we ask or imagine. But your desire, and here's why I believe we're designed in Christ to become powerful in prayer. Because in the book of Acts, those miracles, those powerful things happen because God steps in. So if we're praying to abolish abortion, and if we're praying against the drug trade and against radical evil and against human trafficking and against the radical evil things, we need to know we're going to do two things. We're going to pray for the advance of the kingdom of God, souls, the mission of God, the number one thing. And all that we pray for, the advance, God's power, the believers to be filled, the church to be strong, and God to stretch out his hand to heal, God to strike cities, praying for those in authority. But we can also stand individually, and the church must do this. How could we not stand together and unleash massive prayers against radical evil, asking God to stretch out his hand against the evils in our day as we do the work of Jesus? So I do believe that. I believe the believer goes forward powerful in their relationship to the Lord, in their growing, in the knowledge of the Word of God, in their growing overall, but powerful in prayer then, in which you can help pray in revival. Some of those revivals bring millions to Christ. Some of those massive movements, and I don't care, listen, once again, I don't care how dark it gets. God is God. He's here today. He's here to be operative and working, and he is, and that's vital for us to know that. So today, your prayers and intercession matter. We launch out in faith. We're before that throne, spirit of prayer and supplication guiding us, and we're going to ask so that we can receive, seek that we can find. Knock, the doors be open. So the advance of the kingdom of God's will, but we can also stand in the darkest times of history to pray against political corruption, to pray against the evil things that we see going on in society. So that's goal number four. You'll hear me talk about all the way through this for months, that you being so powerful that even today, what you pray makes a difference. And then goal number five is soul winning. And that's the center, is it not? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:17. God didn't send Jesus in the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. 2 Peter chapter 3, God's not willing that anybody perish, but that all would come to repentance. Timothy chapter 2, this is good and pleases God. What is? Our prayers for the lost, who that he wills, pos anthropos means all humanity to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So, and then he launches us out. We are launched out to take the good news, the gospel, the brilliant gospel, the message of Jesus to every single human being. Go to the highways, the byways. And this is why Jesus said in Acts 1, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. The greatest expression of being clothed and filled with the power of the Spirit of God, along with other things, is turning the believer into a lit up, on fire, growing. And you will grow in this as you begin to learn to witness and see the Spirit of God help you and the power of the gospel and the conviction, the convincing and convicting work of the Spirit of God and all that God does to save souls. And that's what he wants. That's what God wills. And he doesn't want to lose anyone. He doesn't want anybody. But, you know, there's those, again, 2 Thessalonians 2, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Our work, just go. Unleash Jesus. Preach Jesus. Preach the gospel. Go back again. Share with them. Pray with them. And I make no bones about it. No apologies. My dad, family members, they knew I was coming to share Jesus. Going down the street with teams, going out on teams to visit. That's some of the most exciting thing. You're going to see in the book of Acts, that individually, but teams that would go out to do the Great Commission, to do evangelism, to win souls, to lead others to Jesus. So that's, again, I'm going to say the centrality. So goal five in all this, all of us to become powerful soul winners. Number six, powerful in healing and seeing it happen. Now, I believe this, Jesus, and you read Luke's Gospel 4, to unleash the gospel, heal the brokenhearted, there's recovery of sight of the blind, releasing captives, the freedom for those oppressed. Look at the ministry of Jesus. By stripes we are healed. So it includes that. Now, God was healing in the Old Testament. Healing is in the atonement. Healing is in God. You look at Psalm 103, who heals all our diseases. But we need to come back to the norm, the normality of the Gospels and seeing what Jesus does. And a glimpse of the Gospel as a whole is Mark's Gospel chapter 1. The coming of Jesus, the unleashing of the Gospel of salvation, healing and deliverance. And that just, it was happening everywhere. And believers, it was happening everywhere as believers went out in the book of Acts. Even the second generation believers, like with Philip later on. So we must pray that God's, look at Acts 4, pray that God stretch forth his hand to heal. He's come to heal people. He's the healer. And we could seek him for healing and ask him for healing and so forth. But I believe that we're going to see that. There's charismatic gifts, the gift of healings, cures, that we need to also bring into this. And we'll get into that as we go through. Now, goal number seven, obviously expelling demons. We stand with the authority of Christ. We have the armor of God on as we're launching out. Jesus came, 1 John 3:8, to destroy the work of the devil, to bring the exposure. So we're there to kick demons out of the lives of people. So Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, the training. Then Jesus shows it all. I have given you authority to tread, trample, bring a crushing destruction to the dark side and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. So when you take a look at Luke 10:19 and appropriate, I accept that authority. Well, it's a mission. So nowadays, in the closer to the end, with more demons active than ever in all of history, you could have a lot of demonized people, oppressed people, all kinds of stuff going on. So we're here with authority to command, and every believer is given this authority. Every believer is to be a part, and when you engage, so if you're out witnessing, you might run into somebody who has a demon in them or on them. You might have somebody at work or at school in the neighborhood, or maybe a relative, or maybe you're called because you know how to pray. You're clothed with the power of the Spirit of God. You win souls. You know how to pray for healing, but you know how to engage demons. And the more you walk in the power of God, the fearlessness, the presence and power and that fire, fearless fire of the Spirit of the Lord in obedient believers. Goal eight is growing fierce in spiritual warfare, standing against the agenda of the dark side. standing as we pray against it, as we rebuke that, as we resist the devil and see him flee. So you're going to see in the book of Acts, everywhere they went, they're engaged. You know, Acts 8, again, kicking out demons. They're going out screaming. But yet, that's part of the goal. Grow deep. Grow strong. There's a massive deficiency in the body of Christ. The last 10 years or so, I've done 110, 115 conferences. Thousands of believers. So I'm always asking, how many here know your authority? Luke 10:19. Well, the average has been up to 90% do not. Meaning they haven't been taught, which is bad. Neglect. And they haven't been developed. I mean, the norm is, we should know that authority, and we should be active in that. The norm of being filled, clothed with power to be a witness, that should be the norm. So again, recognize the subnormal has stolen too much from you. We should get up and say, I can't take that dead Sardis. It's possible that churches become dead. They don't look in the book of Revelation, those chapters 2 and 3. Sardis became dead. Jesus wanted them to remember what they have heard and received, repent quickly, like now, and return back to that. Do it, because the works have been cut off. The works is what brings the manifest presence and power in the work. That the works include soul winning and healing and deliverance and God's intervention, but also standing. Resist the devil, he flees from you. Stand with authority. Greater is he who is in you than he's in the world. So why are churches collectively as a whole, why are we not praying, you know, in the context of intercession and prayer in the in the service, including the advance of the cause of Christ to the glory of God, praying against all the radical evil. Pastors and leaders, do you see what potential there is? Do you see what it could be in your life? Today, as you go out, before you pray in advance, Lord, strike down the enemy, deliver us from the work of the enemy, make me aware. That's that Colossians 4:2. Be devoted to prayer, being watchful. Gregoruo. Take it a few moments. Is there anything the enemy's doing? I'm coming against that, Lord. And you're launched out for the day. And so you can engage things. You can recognize if the enemy's trying to oppress you or keep you from being the kind of believer, cripple you, thrust you back into the subnormal clog of spectatorship where millions can do nothing, show nothing, see nothing, have no testimony, and that's a shame. You're going to have testimonies of God's grace and works everywhere around you. Well, goal 9, faith. Hebrews 11, by faith they conquered kingdoms, they administered justice, they routed foreign armies. By faith there are believers that got together and prayed for revivals that struck tens of thousands and influenced nations. By faith, mountains can be removed, right? So when we talk about the development of our faith, we grow in faith. Great is the faith. So I love when I see what Jesus does in the Gospels. One place, it says he couldn't do very many miracles there. Why? Because of their unbelief. That's the antipistu. That means they refuse. They put their foot down. No, we're not going to believe. Against believing. There's doubting in the middle. James 1, the doubter. Don't let the doubter think they're going to receive anything. God, salvation requires faith. Prayer requires faith. Seeing great things, faith. We come in prayer by in faith. Yes. All the promises, yes. He's here, yes. We're asking, yes, to receive, yes. And I believe that God responds to that. I mean, Hebrews 11:6. It's impossible to please God without faith. Those who come to him, there's two things, existence and character. His very presence, existence, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. God's got an answer today. Today's and days for answers for God. So when we're looking all through the book of Acts and seeing all these massive things occurring, an angel goes and helps Peter get out. The chains break, you know, come up. The guards, that they're blinded or put to sleep or something. The iron barred gate opens up because there's a prayer meeting. And so I'm going to tell you right now, I don't even, as much as I bring exposure to the end of days and how, you know, all the dark stuff and tell what Scripture says about that, true. But we stand as that immovable, not just standing in defense. We're the ones on the offense. We're the ones sent by God, and the gates of hell can't handle that. We're to launch out today, and I want to believe. I'm stepping out to believe God, to believe what the promises show us, what we see in Scripture. I'm asking on behalf of the church. I'm asking for things for the leadership. I'm asking as we pray against. Listen, I'm involved in the idea of evangelism, but in the context of that evangelism and in healing and deliverance, we engage satanic coven stuff and ritual abused and sexual abused and pedophile rings and all kinds of radical stuff. And that means standing against evil perpetrators. Standing against even radically evil political leaders. The wicked Queen Mary, it's said in history, feared the prayers of John Knox more than an invading army. Christian, astounding, powerful things can happen from the prayers that have gone up. We see God sends angels, earthquakes come, the dead are raised. But we see the power of God and thousands saved and healing. And so Acts 4 becomes a standard, a norm. As we gather and lift our voices together to God in prayer, stretch forth your hand, Father. God, stretch forth your hand. And save and heal and deliver and show sign and wonder and bring destruction to the work of the enemy. Those are things it's a daily thing. And you want to see the answers to that. Well, that's goal 9, launching out in faith, seeing great things. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work in you, to the glory of God. Now, in 10, goal number 10, you're to be the light of the world. You and I, we stand in the world. We don't stand absent from the world. Somebody's going to make the laws. Somebody's going to influence. Somebody's going to get involved with politics and media and law and media, you know, all these areas. We're in the world, but not of the world. We're to be the light of the world. And so your life shining Christ, your message, your stance, we can stand for the things that are good and feeding people and taking care and doing all that we do in the gospel work. But we also in culture can stand against abortion, for the abolishing of it, against the drug trade, against the sexual decadence and destruction and hedonism and all the rest. So we stand and we bring influence into the world. Influence into our local schools, and you and I are here to bring influence into the culture while we are loving Jesus and praising him, while we are growing in knowledge, while we're growing personally, while we are growing in powerful prayer and soul winning and healing and deliverance and warfare, becoming fierce in warfare, and even praying. My wife and I every night, we're praying for our neighborhood. All that God wants to do, who we're going to meet, who we're going to engage, and then sooner or later, door to door. So those are some of the goals we're going to have going through all this. I pray that, and here's what I do know. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the works that God prepared in advance for us to walk in to do them. I already know the design. If you know what he's designed, he's saved you to know him, and he's going to bring you home. He saved you to grow into the depths and the joy and the wonder and the awe and the worship of Jesus. But he's also chosen you, and that's a privilege. It's joyful, exciting, the hand of God that we get to see operative is really astounding. I just think it's amazing. So I want you to know that that's what we're all about. In this whole training, this is what we're going to be doing. This is where we're going to be moving. We want to leave no spectator Christian behind. We want to confront as a actual reality. We can't hide behind this. The church has been led into subnormal existence, powerless, and millions have never been led to do what we've been designed to do. So you know, and you might look around you and say, "Well, my church isn't doing this," and I agree. I understand that. I mean, there's a struggle as far as local church, and does any churches thundering in prayer, and we get invitations, souls saved, and prayers for healing, and all that we're going to talk about. Well, I'm going to let leaders know, and all of us know, everything can change right now if we do that. That's a great thing that Jesus was offering Sardis, an immediate change, but there's a need for immediate recognition of the dead and so forth. To stop this madness, to renounce the world, the flesh, the devil, to surrender, to take up that cross, deny self, and follow him. And the great, amazing things that God's going to do in and then through your life. Astounding, really, truly. So as you think in terms of the goals overall, these will be reiterated all the way through. You'll be growing and becoming powerful in Jesus, in the Word, in your development and growing, in prayer, in soul winning, in healing, in deliverance, fierce in spiritual warfare, in faith, in the accomplishments and the great things that can be done, and becoming a powerful influence in the world where we live. Book of Acts, and this was Audio 11, and we will see you in the next one. Blessings to you.